Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Don't forget, July is Photography Month on The Brian Lehrer Show. We just completed our really successful Change for the Better, Change for the Worse photo challenge, and some of those shots will be up at the event on next Saturday night, August 2nd, in McCarran Park, where there'll be a 30-foot screen with the Slide Luck Pot Show. So go out and see some of your Brian Lehrer Show Change for the Better, Change for the Worse photos there a week from Saturday. But our new photo challenge is Images of Stress. Translate that into a visual image any way you know how. Photos that reflect stress or stress relief. Go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. You'll see what people are posting, and you'll see how to post your image. And you may know from past segments that we here are big fans of Wikipedia, even though some wiki happy user changed my own bio to say that I have 37 sons. But that's the beauty of user-generated content, and it's why Wikipedia is such a global phenomenon. And lately, youth in the Arab world have been tapping into its power and that of Facebook, as you may have seen written up in the New York Times the other day. Wikimania, the annual Wikipedia convention, took place in Alexandria, Egypt last week, and young attendees voiced the need to create stronger Arabic language content. This morning, we'll talk about some of the issues and some of the fun, I guess, at Wikimania 2008 and the use of the web among Arabic speakers. And a little later, we'll talk about the recent boom in Egyptian Facebook users. And with us for all of this are Jimmy Wales, founder of Wikipedia, and Noam Cohen, New York Times business columnist and frequent attendee, 4 years in a row, I think?
Three
years in a row of Wikimania this year in Alexandria. So welcome to WNYC. And also joining us by phone from Egypt is Mohamed Mido Ibrahim, one of the organizers there of Wikimania 2008. Mido, can you hear us?
Yes, sir.
Good. Yes. And let me give you the first question. Why was it important to have Wikimania 2008 happen in Egypt?
Well, I believe that the Arabic community needed some event like this in the region. The last three events were held away from the continent of or from the Arabic region. The Arabic community needed it, and we tried our best to for 2 years in a row to win this conference hosting here in Alexandria. We need to be open to the regions of the world that need to have such events to raise the level of awareness of the Free Knowledge Project and generally the freedom of expression, if we may say, the right to share the knowledge between people from all over the world and change the shape of the way they learn.
And let me bring Jimmy Wales in on that right now, because people may have heard Wikimania Convention in Egypt and thought, well, that's a pretty authoritarian government there, and freedom of expression, we know, is not always tolerated. So why did they even allow you to do it?
Well, I mean, Egypt has certain problems around freedom of speech, but they mostly have to do with there have been some troubles with some bloggers who were arrested when they were critical of the president and things like this. Wikipedia, on the other hand, is viewed as neutral. I mean, we try to be neutral. We try to be sharing knowledge. My own feeling is that, in our own way, we're much more subversive than a blogger complaining about the president, because I think that this fundamental, deeper idea that, as Mido was just speaking about, that people have the right to share knowledge, the right to participate in the building of culture, is very powerful and really has the potential to change ideas at a more fundamental level than just the question of whether or not you're allowed to criticize the president.
So in your own opinion, what happened at Wikimania this year in Egypt that was important?
There were a couple of things. You know, as in every Wikimania, people came together from all over the world, different community members meet up. Some of them are now old friends because they're part of this sort of international community, but a lot of them are new to that part of things. They're coming from their own language context, and they're meeting other people and finding out that, oh, gee, actually the problems we have with this troublemaking user and these questions are actually the same problems that were faced everywhere. The other thing is that we had a really large amount of participation from the local community. I think the library at Alexandria, where we had this, did a good job of bringing in, sort of getting the word out, and we had a lot of people there, Arabic speakers, not just from Egypt, but from the whole region. And I really got a sense that there was a lot of excitement and energy in that community, people who really are feeling that this was their moment to join the international community in a way that they hadn't before, and also to bring shine a light on it throughout the Arabic press and around the world, that while there is an Arabic Wikipedia, and it's growing.
Now, Noam Cohen, you have attended three, as you said, of the four annual Wikimania conferences. Last year's was in Taipei, Taiwan. The previous year was in Boston. How do they compare?
Well, I think what Jimmy's saying is very true, that this was a real seriousness about it. I felt when I talked to the young people there, I mean, I must have met five or six medical students. I would say with all, you know, kindness, that sometimes the Wikimanias can seem like a Star Trek convention, a little bit. But this one did not at all. It was really very serious people who really thought it was like a mission, like almost a national mission to create content in Arabic. And it's a real problem they have because, it's very easy for me as an American to go there knowing that everyone's going to speak English. But I think it's kind of, I said either chagrin or maybe even embarrassment to think you're that reliant on English for everything. All your, maybe Mito wants to chime in, I don't know.
Yeah, well, Mito, I know that in the Arab world, there is a lot of youth population, that just the percentage of the population that's under 25 is much higher than it is in the Western world. Do you think that offers particular opportunities for how Wikipedia or Facebook or any other sites might be used?
Yes, sure. The population under 25 is really great, and they have the potential to create Arabic content like Jimmy Whale, like a national mission or something. And they need just to get used to contribute in Arabic. Many people contribute in English or in French, like in Morocco, in Algeria, and here in Egypt, mostly in English. So we need to direct this potential to create an Arabic content to make it like something very important for them to create this. And I think with Wikimania, we have started this. We started this process, and I hope it will continue.
Noam, your article in the Times the other day was about the exploding numbers of Facebook users in Egypt, and how users are creating pages to protest high food prices and government policies. Has there been a backlash?
Well, yeah. I mean, as the article mentioned, I mean, they did crack down on the Facebook group that was organized for that purpose. Although, you know, as I in the story I mentioned, you know, there was rumors that maybe they would shut down or block the entire Facebook application. And, you know, one of them just said very nonchalantly, one of the attendees at the event said, you know, that would never happen. I mean, I think, you know, the youth that you're talking about, it's almost like the whole country is like a startup. I mean, they've got many disadvantages, but among the advantages they have is that they're, you know, the young people are better at technology than older people, I know, being in the middle there. And so just the facility they have with Facebook and with just technology in general may be their hope to some degree, I guess, is partly.
Mito, do you think that people in Egypt using Facebook tend to use it differently than people in the United States? I think we generally think of Facebook as a place where people just go to hang out and make jokes and stuff like that.
I think, yes. I think most many of the political movements that happened in the last 2 months or something, that raised from Facebook, something like the national strike. There was a national strike on Texas of April or something. That emerges from the Facebook. I think it's not only in Egypt. Maybe in the U.S. it's a bit different, and people just use it for hangouts or something. But people also, like in Spain, for example, in Wikimania, there was a session talking about the political use of wikis and blogs. And there was something very similar to what happened on Facebook for the Egyptians that used it for the strike or stuff like this, like political meetings and like movements, getting around one idea in one group or making pages. I think, yes, the use of Facebook here in Egypt is a bit different. Of course, the regular use of Hangouts or meeting friends, talking about anything in their life, it did exist. But political use, yes, it exists and very much in a very high level.
We can take a few phone calls for our three guests, Jimmy Wales, founder of Wikipedia, Noam Cohen from the New York Times, who covered the Wikimania convention in Egypt, and Mito, one of the organizers of the convention at the Egypt site, and he is in Egypt. Our phone number is 646-778-3729, or, of course, post a comment to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. Call 646-778-3729. If you want to talk on the air, 646-SPUDRAY, if that's the easier way to remember it. And George in Greenwich, you're on WNYC. Hello, George.
Hi. I'm working with Amnesty International, and we've been talking about possibly building a website for peace and justice and possibly even tying in democracy type of principles, basically trying to help people facilitate actually implementing some of these things. What do you suggest? What sort of tools are out there? What sort of resources, what sort of groups might help to build a site to at least get it started if you don't have the familiarity of how this all generated, you know?
Jimmy Wales, I guess that's for you.
Well, I mean, I think there are so many tools that people are using today that you should rely on in addition to your own site. So, you know, using Facebook groups to get the word out about your site, because otherwise you'll just be sort of out there on the internet. If you have a strong message that people will want to repeat to their friends, you can spread it through things like Facebook. The other thing I've thought for a long time is that there should be an Amnesty International wiki where people can actually come and update the kinds of things that you're interested in, and maybe in a more first-hand fashion than Wikipedia would ever do. Wikipedia always needs to have reliable sources and things like that, and we wouldn't really accept a first-hand report, whereas Amnesty might be interested in doing that. So I think there's a lot of opportunities.
Would I contact to get something like that started?
I don't know. You could email me. I'm easy to find. I can tell you more.
All right, George. Thanks, and good luck with that. Now, we have a caller. Let's see if the caller sets up his own question adequately. Otherwise, I may have to give the listeners a little background about some competition from Google. Jay in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jay.
Hey, man. War Eagle Jimmy. I was just calling in to say hey and see what you thought about the paid Google Wikipedia thing. I think it's called Knoll now that they're trying to put together.
Right. So Google just announced a rival site to Wikipedia called Knoll, that's K-N-O-L, which will take contributions from users who will not be anonymous, which is different from Wikipedia, and who are hand-picked as experts in the subject. I don't know if they're going to stop there or let so-called ordinary people contribute as well, and contributors also stand to gain advertising dollars for their efforts. You don't take advertising on Wikipedia. So what do you think about Google's entry into the wiki world?
Well, first of all, for the caller, it's actually Roll Tide, not War Eagle. So apparently from Alabama, two rival football teams. So I was raised right. So in any event, the interesting thing about Knoll is that it's I think it's being described incorrectly a lot in the press. I mean, so the quote you just gave, it's not about handpicked experts. Anyone can sign up. It's not about people. You have the ability to verify your identity, but it's not required. But I think what's most interesting about it is everything that people do, the default license is a Creative Commons license, a Creative Commons attribution license, which means it's part of free culture, meaning anybody can copy the work and modify it, which means when people use the default license there, anything that's get added to Knoll, if it seems useful, people can pull it into Wikipedia and actually improve Wikipedia. So that's, I think there's going to be a lot of interesting hybrid things going on there. Finally, just the social model around what they're doing is very different. It's the idea of, generally speaking, you just control an entry, one single author. You can add other authors, or you can even make it so that anyone can come and help. But it's very different with a sense of ownership that Wikipedia doesn't have. I think what that's going to produce is actually going to be interesting, but I think it's not going to be an encyclopedia. I think it's going to be, and they even say they encourage opinion pieces and things like this. So I think it's going to be more of a collaborative blogging environment. But as long as it's free culture, I'm all for it.
Do you see it as a competitor to what you do?
So the thing about us is we're very strange that we're a we'll plead guilty sometimes to being like a Star Trek convention. We're a community, and we're focused on creating a free encyclopedia in every language of the world. So we don't even think in terms of competition and things like that. We're doing our thing, and we hope other people are doing cool stuff. And so we don't really think of it in those terms.
That's why you remain with your .org status. I mean, as many people as use Wikipedia right now, it's the first thing that comes up on a Google search for so many topics that you might enter. you could be making money on this, with advertising down the right stripe or whatever. You're committed to not doing that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we're a nonprofit organization. There's no plans to change anything about that. My view is perhaps a bit arrogant, but my view is that Wikipedia is important. It's culturally important. Whatever problems we've had or mistakes we've made, we're something that people are going to look back on about this era and say, wow, that Wikipedia was interesting. That was people came together and did something that was new. And that's something we really take a lot of pride in.
And so what am I supposed to think of the fact that when I go to my own Wikipedia entry, somebody keeps hacking it and saying I have 37 kids? Now, what should that do to my trust of the information anywhere on the site?
Well, so this is a problem, right? This kind of repeated vandalism type of thing. And it's something that we're trying to address with actually right now there's an experiment going on in the German Wikipedia using some new software that allows for what we call flagged revisions, which would mean that somebody could change your entry to say that, but it wouldn't go live until somebody who's trusted in the community had checked it. That's experimental. There's some problems with the way it's implemented now. I think we're going to do a couple of revisions there until we feel that it's right before we roll it out elsewhere.
That's a lot of volunteers that you would need given the scope of what Wikipedia covers.
Yeah, well, we have a lot of volunteers. But that is, yeah, I mean, you do hit upon one of the interesting questions is how do we make best use of volunteer time? And right now what we do is actually quite inefficient. In other words, there are people who are checking your biography over time, but they often end up duplicating each other's work because we don't have a system for doing it. And we hope that this tool will actually reduce the number of volunteers needed to monitor more articles. But, well, we're always working on it. For the record, you have 39 kids, is that right?
Yes, it's actually 39, actually and people 39. Keep reducing it to 37, and it's very embarrassing. Noam Cohen, who covered the Wikimania convention in Egypt this past week, a last word on anything we've been talking about?
I think an important point that maybe even my column maybe stressed too much the politics of it. I think what Jimmy's saying about it being, it's almost its existence as a neutral point of view purveyor of information is almost its most radical thing. And that actually was a lot of what was going on there. And there was an interesting little encounter with an Israeli who actually made the trip, who talked about being a contributor to the Arabic Wikipedia and sort of, and the fact that it was all done very civilly and not at all contested. And it just showed, I think, that that's sort of the radical thing going on. Not that the Facebook and the fact that young people can communicate so much better and can talk to each other without their sort of adults knowing is important. I think also just the existence of a neutral point of view is really important.
Noam Cohen from the New York Times, Jimmy Wales, founder of Wikipedia, Mohamed Mito Ibrahim, one of the organizers of Wikimania 2008 in Egypt. Thank you all very much for coming on with us today.
Thanks for having us.
Pleasure.
And we will stay in the social networking world in just a minute and compare how younger people use Facebook with how the fastest growing demographic on Facebook, 35 to 55, uses it. Stay with us.